Today's Big Brother voicemail podcast is sponsored in part by our friends over at True Car. Because when you're in the market for a new car, you just want to go and pick out the car that you want and select all the features that you want. And you don't want to have to haggle to try to get the best price and fear that you're going to get ripped off. That's why True Car makes car shopping easy, because you can do it all from your own house and do it on the True Car website or the True Car mobile app. Because with True Car, not only can you configure the car to be exactly the way you want with all the features that you need to have in it, but you could also see what other people are paying for the same exact car you're looking for, down to the zip code, so you know what you can expect to pay for the car that you want without a negotiation. So once you decide on the car, lock in guaranteed savings. On average, it's over $3,000 off MSRP, and you'll be connected with a trusted, certified True Car dealer that will honor your savings without negotiation, and maybe even offer you safety to the final seven with a friend. So when you're ready for a new transparent car buying experience, save time, save money, never overpay, download the True Car app today. One last thing before we jump into today's show, our podcast is going to be with June Song, the winner of Big Brother 4, who is very, very funny, but can be very, very inappropriate. So I am officially going to put on the warning right now that this podcast is not safe for your work. It is a podcast that is going to contain strong language and strong adult themes and should not be listened to by anybody who is not of age to hear such nonsense. And so I just want to let you know what's coming, because I don't want you to have any surprises. Again, if this sort of content is offensive to you, I do ask that you just skip this episode. We'll be back Wednesday night live at 9:15 to talk about the next episode of Big Brother 17. And so here is our show with June Song. From my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who tries not to mumble as much as Clay on a podcast, Rob Sestradino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our special voicemail show here on a Monday, talking about everything that's going on Big Brother that you guys are saying. And then we're going to talk about the live feeds as well. And I'm very excited for this episode, because I've been waiting all season long to do this episode, bringing in one of my favorite Big Brother people to talk to, probably one of my favorite people in general. Here is the great winner of Big Brother 4, June Song.
Hello, hello, hello.
June, are you pissed that they brought back the twist from Big Brother 5 this season and not the X Factor?
I'm okay with the twin twist. I just wish, I don't know, I don't love Liz. I like Julia more than I did, like, let's say 5 weeks ago. But no, the X Factor was mine. It was mine and it was special. I'm okay with them not ever bringing that back again.
But you'll be mad if they bring back the X Factor, or it'll be an homage?
I mean, not mad. Of course, it would be an homage. And CBS owes me a little bit here and there, because like they fucking like treat me like I'm some like redheaded stepchild and shit.
A pariah.
Pay me some homage, motherfucker.
Okay, well, this is very exciting, June, because you have been so funny talking about this season on Twitter. And I can't tell if it's because, are you just really pent up because you didn't watch last season, or are you just in I don't give an F mode at this point?
I've never given an F, but like, yeah, honestly, I stopped watching mid season 15 and I didn't watch last season at all. And I just hit 40, so I really don't give a fuck, because I love myself and nobody's going to change me now.
Because you have been merciless on these Big Brother house guests on Twitter this season.
It's terrible. Sometimes I feel like, oh my God, that was a little bit much, you know, but I'm like, no, this is the shit that rolls off my tongue. This is the stuff that's like in my head. And if you were in a room with me, this is the shit I would be saying to you. I just like, I say it on Twitter. I don't have a filter. I'm not like fake like other people, like only posting like really cutesy stuff. And like, I'm like, come on. This is what people are thinking. And I'm like, I'm just going to tweet it and see how it's like received.
Yeah. Because they're not putting any of your tweets up on the screen during the show, right?
Oh, hell no. Especially not the ones about Julie Chen.
All right. So we're going to get into all that. We had a good show last night that Jordan Parhar filled in for me. I was coming back from Texas. I was at the Podcast Movement. He had Spencer Clawson on as a guest. Everybody said it was a great show on Sunday night. So thanks again to Jordan for filling in for me. And we'll be back live this Wednesday night at 9:15 p.m. Eastern. So, June, just start off. Tell me about who's the house guest that's pissing you off the most this season? And try not to get into the live feeds. We're just going to talk about the TV show first.
Oh, as far as the TV show goes?
Yeah.
Austin, because they're not even showing us half the shit that, like, I have complaints about Vanessa and all these other biatches. But yeah, Austin. Austin is just gross. And it's like, if he wasn't so big and burly and Mr. Wrestler, like, I'd be okay with it, but like, he's this huge dude that's just really a skinny, nerdy, like, creepy stalker perv, and it's just, it's so disturbing.
So you feel like he's sort of like the She's All That of guys, that he was like a nerdy guy, but then he became, they got like a makeover and became sort of like a big guy who's
absolutely.
Like
absolutely. And I'd be okay, I'm okay with nerds. I mean, I love nerds, like I love like Ian, I love Steve, but like he's just like really skeevy, and it's just I can't it just grosses me out so much, and I get so angry like seeing him both on the feeds and just on the show with this whole like Judas and Austin bullshit. I'm like, who the fuck do you think you are? Like, seriously, loser.
What do you think about the situation that Liz got herself in with Austin? Do you think that this was a good spot for her, that she has this guy who basically like worships her? And that's probably a good thing in theory, but he's also kind of obsessed with her, which is probably a bad thing.
I mean, game-wise, I think it's great for her, good for her. Yeah, but personally, like, I just could never do that. I mean, she's doing very similar, but not as much as what Allison did in my season, where she's basically using mm-hmm. this dude and, like, letting him touch up on her. But, I mean, the thing is, she said going into the show and her pre-show interviews that she was going to do this. She was going to find some alpha male and ride his coattails.
Wow.
Unfortunately, he's not even an alpha male. He's just like a nasty bear. But she's like riding his coattails to the end.
And he's so in love with her. It really is remarkable how he's really fallen head over heels for her. And they're not even like a real couple.
No, they're not. And like the first few weeks, he didn't even know she was switching out. He was just like confused. So it's not love. It's like an obsession. It's more like a fascination or an infatuation. And he's just, I don't know. Lately, I've been seeing him on feeds. Like, she's pretending to sleep and he's like rubbing her face and she looks like a corpse. And I have no doubt that one of these days, he's going to be one of those guys that snaps her neck and then keeps her in his bed with him for months on end and like just rubs her every night.
Oh, no.
That's gross.
That would be terrible on the live feeds.
That's the picture I got.
They have like, to shut down so the whole gross. Show.
Ew.
Did you feel like these players made a major miscalculation? We talked about Jason, and I know that you have a soft spot in your heart for Jason, even though you were hard on him for his lack of campaigning during the week.
Yeah, but I was. And even before then, I didn't think his social game was up to par.
But he called you bae from even before he went in the Big Brother house.
I know, and I love him, and that's the only reason I still love him.
That's the only reason, though. Yeah.
Love you, bae.
No, and while he was in there, like, you know, he did speak highly of me, so I'm not going to sit here and, like, you know, like, trot him down. However, I am disappointed in him because as a fan of the show, he should know that he has to like talk to people and build relationships, even if you don't like them. I mean, I hated 99% of the people in my season, but you didn't see me shunning them. I fucking cooked for these people and fucking talked to them constantly. And that's what he should have done. And he just like hid most of the time with like useless Meg.
Yeah. What, you hate Meg too?
It's not that I hate her. It's just from the get-go in her interviews, she loved Frankie Grande. And anyone that just comes out saying they love Frankie Grande, I'm like weary of. And the fact that like all her friends are like these fake New Yorkers, all transplants from other places. And I'm like, you guys aren't real New Yorkers, please. You're all bridge and tunnel and you're all like from other parts of the Midwest and whatever it is, trying to live this Sex in the City life. Meanwhile, I'm like, oh my God, all the way here from Belgium. I wish I could just go over there and like teach these people a lesson.
I saw that you were mad on Twitter that Meg said that she doesn't see a squirrel in New York City.
I'm like, are you kidding me? There are squirrels everywhere, A. And it's the pigeons that freak us out, not the squirrels. Like, that's a Jersey girl for you.
Well, going back to Jason. So the other side of the house felt like they were so smart last week of, Jason's the ringleader over there on that side of the house. Let's F everybody over and let's make this 8-person alliance and then let's go right back on it and let's take out Jason and leave Austin in the house. Was that just a disastrous move in hindsight?
It was, but it was also disastrous of these people to think, let's protect Liz and bring both Liz and Julia in. These people are morons. This is a numbers game, and not just voting wise, but you're just lessening the percentage that you can actually get to the end and win by helping someone bring someone else into the game. So, I mean, this season has been so strange and sets some sort of like weird precedent because the pawns have not been going home, and usually they do. People have been volunteering to go up on the block and they've been staying. I mean, everything about this season is just so odd. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. And I'm really scared that someone like Becky or like, I don't know, Meg is going to win this season. That would be like my nightmare.
Your nightmare?
Well, not my nightmare, but I would have to share the winner circle with them. And there are already enough people I don't want to share the winner circles with. Like, I have no choice. They won somehow, you know.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So talk to me about Clay and Shelley, because they have taken a pretty strong position in the house and really ended up in a situation where they are on the block currently after the nominations this week. What has been your take on Clay and Shelley this season?
Well, I mean, Clay and Shelley, besides the obvious like incestuous undertones going on there with Clay looking just like Shelley's brother, I mean, I think they're idiots because they were just full-blown showmans, always together, you know, just never leaving the HOH bed. And when you do that, you make a target of yourself. Now, it was okay for the first like 5 weeks because Shelley had the power half the time and Vanessa had the power the other half of the time. But now comes James, who's HOH, and he's like, you know, he's like channeling my energy maybe. And he just like puts them right up on the block, which was bound to happen, which is supposed to happen. Pairs need to be targeted, but Jeff and Jackie weren't targeted from the beginning. Liz and Julia weren't targeted. Like, it was really confusing to me. I thought it was made very obvious that Austin and Vanessa were like together from the beginning, and nobody picked up on this, which is why I say this is the weirdest season, because they left pairs alone until week 5 now. They should have been put up way before.
So James becomes the HOH this week and does something which is almost unthinkable in modern Big Brother, that he takes a pair and just puts them up on the block together.
Which is what I've been saying on Twitter, that I'm glad he's bringing back old school BB, that you have to put up pairs together. Otherwise, there's too big a chance that one of them wins POV and pulls them off, and then you have the power duo still running the house, and you're like screwed when you come off HOH. So I'm really proud of him for doing this. I mean, I know a lot of these people call themselves like super fans when they actually never watched like all the seasons, and they watched whatever CBS showed them, and they're fucking lying. But like, yeah, considering James hasn't watched all the seasons, I'm glad that he took it upon himself, that he figured it out and followed his gut and put these two people up on the block. But apparently he has some sort of military training or experience or whatever it is. So maybe that's what actually kicked in. But I'm really enjoying him. I didn't like him at first, but I thought he was another like pervy douche like Jeff, which maybe he is, but at least he's playing the game. Yeah. Oh yes, he can.
June, I have your Twitter open. 8 hours ago, you tweeted, "I need a minute. My nipples are still hard after seeing Shelly and Clay nominated by a Korean HOH."
It was amazing.
You're proud of James.
I am proud of James. Last week, I was ready to like disown him and excommunicate him from the Korean community. But that nomination ceremony was beautiful, especially because Shelly started like bitching right away and then Clay jumped in. And I was like, are you people serious? People don't do this at the nomination ceremony. You fucking take your nomination and walk away and talk shit in the diary room.
Right.
You don't fucking bitch like it's kindergarten and you didn't get the piece of apple you wanted. Like, get the fuck out of here with this shit. They're so entitled. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Talk to me about this idea of not going after the threats. You got to backdoor everybody, because if you come after somebody, everybody's afraid. Oh, what if they stay in the house? Then I'm going to be the next target. Did this get to be that way because of Battle of the Block, or was it broken from before Battle of the Block?
I think that the backdoor plan was used effectively up until this Battle of the Block thing happened. Once the Battle of the Block thing happened, I didn't watch last season, but I heard it was very similar to this season, in which it was essentially used just as a backdoor plan, which makes the game like not so fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously if you have a good social game going on and you're not seen as a threat in comps, you're not going to really be backdoored. Backdoor plans are for either assholes that everyone hates or people who are like really strong in comps and people just don't want to give them a chance at POV, which is fine. I don't care. Like, as long as I'm not the one evicted, I don't care who is the one evicted. But as, you know, like OG and just someone who appreciates the game, I don't want to see backdoors every week. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, every once in a while, it's fun and shit, but you don't want to get fucked in the ass every week, you know?
Well, I think it's just a thing of you want to go and build consensus with your big alliance of who's going to go up, and everybody knows it except for the person, and you want to make sure, okay, are you guys okay with this? Are you guys okay with this? Everybody here is cool with this. Whereas the thing that's so exciting about what James did is that it really does feel like a classic Big Brother season of,
absolutely,
hey, it's these people over there, yeah, and it's us people over there, and yeah, guess what? We are putting your asses up. We're coming for you. Exactly. It's not, we're going to make a deal with everybody here. Hey, we're just coming for you.
I blame BB15.
Okay.
Because I think after that season, everyone was so concerned with how America viewed them, with how like they didn't want to be polarizing. And so everyone just started like jumping on this train of, I want to be likable, I don't want to rock the boat. I think we saw some of that in Big Brother Canada 3 as well, which is why it was such a fucking boring season. People just don't want to rock the boat too much. And it's like, if you don't want to rock the fucking boat, don't fucking get in it. Stay on the fucking piece of land that you came from, motherfuckers. Like, why are you getting cast and wasting like good feeds and good strategy and good like backstabbing? Like, I don't understand that. Like, why don't you play a fucking board game? Why are you coming on Big Brother? Like, you have to like be cutthroat and you have to lie and manipulate. Like, what is this like go with the house bullshit? This isn't Brady Bunch.
Yeah, you make a lot of good points where the things that are really so fun about this game are seeing people, absolutely, really go after each other. But it's the U.S. and the Canadian version in the last couple of years, it's been a lot like that. And Big Brother Canada 2 was actually really fun because there was a bit of that happened where the two sides were going after each other.
I just watched that recently and I was just, I loved it so much. I almost like cried. I was like, this is amazing, Big Brother. Like, that's what it should be like. Not this like safe bullshit. But this is what happens when CBS like fucks with the fans so much and fucks with the house guests so much and throws in all these twists and America's this and Canada's that. Like, fuck you. Let the people play the game. And, you know, whatever happens. Like, stop throwing in these twists and like having like the country as a whole control things, because most Americans, most Canadians, I mean, they're idiots. I mean, there's a small percentage of highly intelligent people who are probably not even watching the shows. So you're leaving these decisions up to like these trash, like you know, dead brain celled people. And it's like, don't do that. Let these people play the game. Let the purity of the game stand.
Yeah. So you want to see there be less involvement. You want to be able to see a more laissez-faire Big Brother.
Absolutely. Like, don't involve America. They're already involved as it is. You can get feeds. You can vote on what kind of fucking have-not food they get. Like, yeah, these jump rope shits, that's fine. But don't let them make any real decisions. And don't throw any twists in which, you know, America has any control over. Like, stop the fucking twists already. Just do one major, big, interesting twist and let the game play out as is. This season is great. We don't even need twists. Like, we have to trust in the people that get cast. You know,
so do you feel like the reason why we've seen the twists sort of go by the wayside this season is because they feel like they're getting good stuff? And do we see them try to fix whatever's not working with more twists?
Well, I think the fact that Battle of the Block died and the fact that they stopped the twists, I'm convinced that these people who were bringing in the twists weren't getting paid any extra. It's like, Les Moonves had some sort of like blackmail shit on them and was like, you need to come on the show and do this fucking twist for us, or we're going to leak your dick pic or whatever the fuck we found on you. And like, that's what they were doing. And I think they were eventually like, hey, maybe we don't need these twists and let's just let them go.
Well, I definitely believe that Gronk has one of those picks out there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what the fuck
Phil Kogan
is he doing? Phil Kogan they made him do it because he's the amazing
they
race
had him under contract.
Host. And they were like, you need to come do a fucking crossover because your show is dying. And so you need Big Brother fans to jump on that. And he looked so fucking miserable. Like, I remember when I was working for like major firms and I had to like sit there and talk to my boss's wife and I wanted to fucking shoot myself in the head. I'm like, I don't want to fucking see this bitch. That's like, it's like asking too much.
Or that was Keegan. How Phil felt?
I saw it in his face. I know that face.
Are you sure it wasn't because he had to drop off Jeff and Jackie at the Big Brother house?
That's also embarrassing. Like, who are these people? I used to watch The Amazing Race. I stopped watching a while back. But, like, I had no idea who these people were. Mm-hmm. I was like, what's going on? They couldn't find some better people. I'm convinced, though, that they had someone else in mind, another duo, and they canceled last minute. Or, like, maybe their fucking, like, drug test came back, like, more severe than Vanessa's might have. And they were like, okay, we can't let you in the house. And they just like pulled Jeff and Jackie in because both of them like were unemployed and could use the money.
Do you like Jackie?
I want to like Jackie. There are things I like about her. And the thing is, I'm really hard on women, the female players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, I have very, like, the bar is set very high. And so when you see me, like, bitching about women, it's not because I hate women. I love women. I love vagina. But it's just that I have very high standards. So I want to see her, like, do more. I want to see her have a hand in major decisions. Like, obviously, this week it's obvious James is HOH and they're buddies, so she's like in there in his ear. But up until now, I haven't seen her actually do anything. And it's not enough for me just to hear people like talking shit. Like, that's fun and everything. Like, Jason all talking all that shit was fun, but like, what can you do with that? Like, what else are you going to do with it? So I need to see her either like win some competitions or like, you know, change up her strategy and like be more active in talks and have more of a hand in the path that this show, the summer is taking. But so far, I'm not that impressed with her.
I don't know. I'm coming around on her. I think she'd be a great next head of household because you want people that are in there who are really just a little bit just crazy enough to do these things that we like to see of going after
absolutely.
And she's just like crazy enough to want to fight and get into the and do it. Like, okay, let's bring it.
And I want her to win HOH. I would love to, or even a POV, just anything at this point. The thing is, when she won HOH with Vanessa and she was dethroned, I was really disappointed in her that she didn't make a bigger deal about Vanessa changing her mind. However, for her game's sake, it was best not to like pick an actual fight, which is something that Devon should have like thought about before she called out Audrey week one. But point being, I want Jackie to be more active. I feel like she's more of a passive player. And I know people call her a floater, but to me, a floater is also someone who can like manipulate people and get people to like do things on their behalf. And Jackie hasn't really done that.
All right. Let me play you a question, because that sort of talks about what you bring up about the floaters. I'm going to play you this voicemail from Harshal.
Hey, Rob, a huge fan of Rap, all the way from London. In the episode, we saw Becky approach Clay and Shelley and basically spill the beans about them being targets for the week. Was this a good move on Becky's part to continue to build trust to both sides of the house and ride the middle? Or was this really stupid, and should she have solidified her allegiance with James, Jackie and Meg moving forward? Love to hear your thoughts. Cheers.
Oh, a fellow European for you, June.
Yeah, there you go.
Talk to me about Becky and where she is in the house. And do you think that is she doing a good job? Because I think that some people would say, well, June was somebody who was in the middle of both sides of the house. Is that what Becky is doing?
Well, I actually addressed this on Twitter while I was live tweeting when I watched it this morning. And I said Becky's an idiot because she had just come from James and crew in the HOH, and she's safe. She's not about to be nominated. Her name's not even like on James's mind. Yet she goes straight downstairs and like blabs to Clay and Shelley, which is stupid. If you're safe, shut the fuck up. Go to the kitchen, cook something, do your laundry, do your hair, fucking change your tampon. I don't give a fuck what you do. If you're safe, there is no need to go that extra step because your name could come up potentially. Nobody has allegiances to anybody in there. If they want, they could just out Becky. Now, they haven't done that yet, but people are aware that she's a rat. So I think that was a really bad move on her part. And I think part of her actually prefers to hang with people like Clay and Shelley as opposed to people who are considered outsiders, because remember, Becky comes from the Gap or wherever the fuck she comes from, and she's like a manager there, and she can like
is that where she came from, the Gap?
I believe it's the Gap. If it's not the Gap, it's Hollister. Point being, she likes to be around beautiful people and get people together and tell them when they're going on their break and what, you know, what jeans to fold and what t-shirts to put on the mannequins, whatever the fuck it is she does. I think she prefers to hang with people like Shelley and Clay. And she, yeah, the fact that like she spilled everything to them, I think was a stupid move. And she should just keep her mouth shut and continue doing what she's doing, which is basically nothing. But at this point now, she's put a target on her back because people are aware that she's a rat.
People are telling me on Periscope, June, that it was Abercrombie.
Abercrombie.
That's where she's from.
That's even worse. Those fucking people. Those fucking people who look so good in bikinis, fucking standing there while I'm like trying on clothes, feeling like a fucking sausage. Those fucking Abercrombie bitches.
You weren't driving the train that day, were you?
No, well,
that
I
wasn't
can't
you.
Drive.
You weren't the conductor.
Although my driving is so bad that it could have been me. She's so weak. I mean, she's so weak. I mean, I don't mind rats. I really don't. But like, she's just stupid. She's like doing it in a stupid way. I feel like it's like totally unnecessary.
Yeah. It really did seem like the kind of thing like, well, Clay and Shelley, they have such a big mouth. They're going to go right back up and say all this stuff that it's like, well, how did you know this? I know Meg didn't say anything. I know Jackie didn't say anything. It must have been Becky.
And like, you just like, why don't you just like hold on to that and fucking lock it away in your head and like use it for later? Like, you don't have to go like fucking verbal diarrhea on people just because you heard like something. I don't like her either.
Talk to me about Vanessa. I can't get a good read yet if you think Vanessa is good or not.
I'm like so torn because from a game standpoint, if you're only watching the show, it looks like she's doing great. It looks like she's like winning HOHs, building her BB resume. And, you know, she has a good argument if she gets to the end, but they're not showing you like how fucking crazy and like medicated she is on the feeds. And like, I have a problem with that. Like, yeah. Okay, I like to smoke some weed every now and again. Have I tried ecstasy? Sure. Have I tried other extracurricular drugs? Sure. But like, she to me
not
clearly
in the Big Brother house.
Not in the Big Brother house. I was like such a fucking angel. I was such a good girl when I went into that house. I think all the bad shit happened when I left that house. But point being, she's fucking psycho. And I think she's like actually a junkie.
Now, that's a very loaded word to say.
It's a very loaded word. I'm not saying that I'm some kind of medical professional that I can sit here and say, yes, she takes like cocaine and she takes speed and she's on opiates. But like to me, everything about her and the fact that she wore sunglasses, and every time you see her in the diary room, she has these like contact lenses on that are vanity contacts so that there's something always over her pupils. I don't trust her. I personally don't trust her. From a game standpoint, these people are idiots. And if they're buying everything she's saying, I mean, she's working her ass off. She never shuts the fuck up. She's constantly in people's faces. When James won HOH, she spent all that time up there with him. And she like, maybe he didn't believe everything she said, but she's going to work. I respect the fact that she's playing the game and she's there running her mouth. I wouldn't want to see her win this season. No, because I think that she's not being portrayed on the television show accurately. Mm-hmm. And then I just wouldn't want to share the winner circle with her. I'd rather share it with Shelly than with Vanessa, to be honest.
Wow. So who is the person that you do like what they're doing? Is there nobody?
I mean, I like James.
James is now in your good graces.
I like Julia. And that's about it. And neither of them were on my list from the get-go. When I first started the season, I was all about Jason and Davon. No, I was about Jason and Steve and Johnny and see, I don't even remember the fourth person.
Audrey?
I was actually a Vanessa fan. But now it's just down to James and Julia for me. I hope they don't disappoint me.
The smart thing I think about what James is doing at this point, and don't get me wrong, I think if I was in the Big Brother house, I think I'd be very much under the radar and not trying to blow things up. But if you have a guy who is going to be putting people up on the block and going to be potentially calling people out, it does kind of make it harder for these people just to float by and operate in the shadows, doesn't it?
It does. It does. But I mean, if you look at someone like Meg, if you look at someone like Jason, Jackie, I mean, not just because they didn't win anything, but none of them had a hand in any of the big decisions being made. They were in the dark like 90% of the game. Only week five now have they actually awoken, and James is like cluing them into what's going on. But even after James won HOH and he was having talks upstairs with everyone else on the other side of the house, Becky and Jackie were already sleeping. They were already in bed. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, are you here to play or are you here to sleep?
Let me play you a question about Johnny Mac. This is from Chris.
Hey, Rob. This is Chris from Jersey. First time caller, long time listener. I always wanted to say that. So my question this week was about everyone's favorite rock star dentist, Johnny Mac. We saw him step down during the head of household competition because James told him he was good for the week. Now, I was wondering, is it better for his game right now to throw most competitions or not go for head of household? Because he does kind of have that competition beast threat on him right now. And right now, I think he's in a good spot where he's in between two sides. Just wanted to get your input. Thanks.
June, what's been your take on Johnny Mac? And do you like the game that he's playing?
I was really frustrated at him towards the beginning when he was agreeing to go up on the block. I know a lot of people were saying, well, they're going to put him up anyway, but that's not true. If you put up some sort of fight and you give other options for other people to go up, there's a chance that you're not going to go up. Now, he went up and he was not only volunteering to go up, but he was throwing Battle of the Block.
Yeah.
And as a super fan, he should know better, like never to A, volunteer, and B, throw shit when your life is on the line. However, he did win POV and he took himself off a couple of times. And it still boggles my mind that these people don't see him as a threat as far as competitions go, because he's proven himself to win a couple of times. But like I said, this is the oddest fucking season of all seasons because they don't see him as a threat. Now, as far as his game goes, am I happy with it? Not really, but given the fact that
there are-
Yeah, exactly. But given the fact that there are all these like psycho people running around, like I can't blame him for just kind of like taking a seat back. Do I love his screaming in the diary room? No. Do I forgive him? Yes.
No.
Oh, okay. No, he's so funny. I mean, he's such a funny guy.
I do
guy.
Like him. Yeah, but, no, I do like him.
But his game, he's really done nothing except his
know.
Whole. The only
exactly.
time, it's all about just him going up on the block. And then even this week, the only time they showed him on the show was like, yeah, Clay, how does it feel? You're on the block now.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, I know he protects Becky, and people also call him a floater. This is the thing. I don't think the term floater actually works this season.
Set
at
the record
all.
Straight about the floater.
Yeah, no, I would. I referred to Meg as a bed bug earlier today because she's more bed bug than she is a floater. She just doesn't fucking leave bed, and like she just loves to just lay in bed and just. If you want to do that shit, go back to New York. But, you know, you're living rent-free in this place and you're, like, just laying in the bed the whole time. Like, what is that about? People use the word coaster. I would say
coaster.
That Jack... I would say that Jackie was a coaster the first few weeks. I mean, she basically just blended into the fucking wall and everyone forgot that she was even there. Which takes some skill, considering she's got a mouth on her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the term floater, I don't see any real floaters in the house because to me, a floater is not just someone who switches sides back and forth depending on who's in power, but it's also someone who will make it obvious when they have switched sides. When I switch sides from the stupid Elite Eight motherfuckers over to the Stooges with Dana and back, you know, I made it obvious, but I was also able to manipulate people along the way. I don't see that in anyone this season. I don't see anyone manipulating anyone. I see everyone in the dark. And I see just Vanessa and Shelley running the house, essentially.
But couldn't you see Vanessa being the person who is able to work with both sides?
But she's made it pretty clear that her allegiance is to Shelley and Clay.
Yeah,
and
but I feel like
she'd
throw those guys under the bus the first chance that she had.
But she hasn't. I mean, she's still kind of defending them. And now, like, you know, now that it's only Shelley and Clay, she's trying to keep Shelley and still pull in Austin and the twins. So I wouldn't call her a clear cut floater, but she's definitely working her ass off. I mean, she hasn't made too many enemies, because everyone that she made an enemy has been evicted now. But like I said, this is such an odd season, and the fact that nobody in that house is threatened by her right now is a damn shame. And I mean, if she wins, I'll be okay with it, obviously, because at least it wasn't something that production handed her like other people. But for if Shelley won, I'd be more okay with it. If James wins, I would be truly happy for him.
Wow. I also want to say, especially on Periscope, that nobody is rooting for Johnny Mack more than me. I would love to see Johnny Mack win this game. Don't get it twisted, people. I'm not a Johnny Mack hater. I love Johnny Mack, but could he do something once in a while? Could he talk about the game?
I mean, I think that the fact that he's hiding that he's a super fan and the fact that he plays dumb when it comes to asking questions about Big Brother is strategy. It's part of his strategy, and good for him for hiding it up until now. If at final three, final four, even at final two, he comes out and he's like, you are all fucking morons. I am like better than you. I know more than you. And he really comes out with this like kick-ass speech. I'd be total team Johnny Mac. But as it stands now, he just, yeah, he's not doing anything.
Yeah, but June, that didn't even work for Godfrey, who did a lot more along the way, ultimately, than Johnny Mac has done. And people felt like they didn't have enough of a connection with him to let him win the game.
Godfrey did a really bad job. I thought his final two speech, I thought everything was really piss poor. I think he dropped the ball. And perhaps Johnny Mac has actually watched that season and maybe he'll up his game soon. But yeah, as far as Johnny Mac goes now, I don't think I would be able to hand him my vote if it got down to him and, let's say, Shelley or Vanessa.
Okay, let me play you another question from last night's show.
Hello, Rob and June. Leif Manson here. Last night, Julia mentioned that she wouldn't trust Austin with a 10-foot pole. This raises many questions. Chief among them, why not? Why shouldn't Julia trust Austin with a 10-foot pole? What does she think Austin will do with said pole? Does Julia know something we don't? Will there be a 10-foot pole takeover in which each house guest is given a 10-foot pole? I'm still not entirely sure how this would affect gameplay. Thanks, Rob and June. Love you, Bay.
June, should Julia trust Austin with a 10-foot pole?
No.
No.
I wouldn't trust Austin with a 10-foot pole. Actually, I don't even know what that means. I don't know what that means. I think Julia is just trying to like really reiterate the fact that she doesn't trust him. But I don't understand the 10-foot pole reference. Do you?
She said it during the show last night that she doesn't want to trust Austin with a 10-foot pole. So
like, I don't understand what that means.
Yeah, like it's just an expression.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, no. I mean, if I were her, I wouldn't trust him, especially given the fact that her own sister is taking his side over hers.
Yeah.
I mean, Liz, like, I don't understand that. I understand that sisters don't always have to agree, and sisters can tell each other, hey, you're a bitch, or like, hey, you're wrong. But why would you take, you know, this gorilla's side over your own flesh and blood? Like,
identical.
I just don't understand
flesh
that.
And blood. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what is, and it's already been proven that he threw Julia under the bus. So what is going on with Liz? Like, maybe she was always jealous of her twin sister.
Maybe. Well, the other sister, one is like really flirty and the other one isn't. Do you think that this is a thing? Do you think that they've fought over guys before?
I think that Liz has always been, you know, a very much Miami boat girl type girl. And perhaps Julia is just more grounded because she is a leukemia survivor, which I just learned.
Is that true?
Yes, it's on her CBS bio, apparently. And I just learned that.
That's Julie. That's
Julia.
Oh, I had no idea about this.
Yeah, I had no idea either. She's
never
mentioned
it. You would think that they would mention this on the show.
She's never mentioned it, but it's on her CBS bio, apparently. I just learned this in the last couple hours. So I think that has a lot to do with it. Julia is just much more a grounded, like, realist, and Liz is just constantly like, oh God, you know, like, my sister's better than me. She even beat leukemia. What am I going to do? You know, okay, I'm going to be a whore. I know, like...
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I know. Oh my God. Fucking A. I can't.
Wow. June, this is investigative reporting.
Hey, listen, I spent a lot of time in the underground sex business in New York, and I can recognize a worker.
Game recognizes game.
I will fucking sell that bitch on the street for double what she's getting now.
That would be a much different and potentially more interesting podcast for another day. So, all right. In terms of Julie and Liz, let me play you another voicemail about potentially where we go from here with the two twins. This is from our good friend Johnny.
Hey, Rob and June. Johnny DeSavera here from Vancouver. Now that Julia is officially a part of the game, I have to ask this. Do either of you think either twin will pull a Sierra Easton and evict their loved one from the house? Thanks. Keep up the great work, Rob.
June, could you see this getting to a point where either of the twins wants to target the other one and get them out of the house?
I don't see that happening between these two.
But what if there is some divide between them? Like, what if there are some fundamental issues between them where one secretly is jealous of the other one and they really don't get along as great as we might imagine? Is it possible?
No, I see either of them getting... At the end of the day, which is another like, nice catchphrase.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I actually see either of them evicting Austin first over the other.
That'll be the best goodbye message ever in the history of Big Brother when Julia does the message to Austin.
Like totally. Like I actually see that happening before. Either of them evicting each other first. Although the whole Sierra thing, like, that was pretty amazing.
Oh, you liked that on Survivor when she voted out her mom?
I thought it was terrible, but of course as a viewer, I was like loving it.
You loved it. June, do you have any siblings?
I do. I have a younger brother.
A brother. Okay. So yeah. I was going to ask
If I was in the house with my brother, I would never fucking evict him.
Yeah. Now, I was going to ask you if you had a sister, if you ever there was a guy that she had dated that you disapproved of.
Oh, no, but there's plenty of bitches I disapproved of that my brother dated.
Yeah, and what did you do?
Oh, I sabotaged them.
Did you really?
No, I just made it very obvious that I didn't want him, you know, with them.
And what happened?
Like, yeah, he's not with them anymore. However, the woman that he's marrying in April that I'm actually returning to New York for his wedding, like, I had a fallout with her once as well.
Yeah.
And like, I basically, like, crucified her with words. And he's still marrying her, so there's that. As long as she makes him happy.
Asking me on Periscope if your brother approved of G.
They really got along. Yeah, okay. they really got along. G was a nice guy. I mean, he was just lazy, but he was a nice guy. Like,
but not anymore.
Well, I think he's married. I don't know if he has a kid yet, but he did marry that girl that he was dating while I was on Big Brother with him. They broke up and then they got married. And they broke up, they were on a break, and then they got back together and they got married. So I know that he's married. I mean, he's a very decent guy. He's a nice guy.
Decent.
It's just he's a nice guy. You could totally trust him. Like, if you like fell on the floor like drunk, he wouldn't like take your wallet and run or anything.
Okay.
He'd probably
gonna say, like,
call
a Bill Cosby thing. Good.
That's awesome.
Good. Well, good for G.
Yeah.
Good for G. Okay. June, I want to get into talking about stuff from the spoilers, from the live feeds.
Yes.
There's a lot going on.
Okay.
All right. So before I do that, I'm going to take a moment. I want to thank one of our sponsors for this episode of the podcast, June. I want to thank my friends over at Mazda. June, tell me, does driving matter to you?
I don't even have a driver's license.
Well, if you did, imagine yourself driving with the windows down. This might make you want to get a driver's license. Wind blowing through your hair, smelling pine trees and fresh asphalt. You could look forward to these moments when it would just be you in the road, no distractions, handling all the curves, feeling every nuance in the road. So ask yourself now, does driving matter to you? Because if it does, we've got cars just for you, because us driving matters, Mazda. You going to go out and get that driver's license now, June?
I will tell you, the last car that my husband had was a Mazda Miata.
And you liked it?
And I loved it. And then I got pregnant.
Wow.
And boy, was I the hottest pregnant chick in a convertible.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that one thing led to another once they had the Mazda Miata?
Yeah, Mazdas are so hot, they can get you knocked up.
Wow. Okay. Let me play the cue to let people know we are talking about the spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes. Okay. to now we can really talk here. Now we can really get into this. It was a tough weekend for Clay and Shelley.
It was.
Because your boy James won the veto.
Yeah, go Korea.
And he decided not to use the power of veto. Mm-hmm. So either Clay or Shelley is going home this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sad story, June. I know you're a romantic. Are you upset that Clay and Shelley will be separated? And not just that, one of them will make it to jury and one of them will not.
I know. I'm a total romantic, but I'm even more a realist. And so, like, we ain't got no time for fucking romance in the Big Brother house. Like, they need to get the fuck out of here with this shit. And they haven't even known each other that long. And they're, like, acting like they're, like, fucking Leonardo DiCaprio and fucking what's her name, like, getting separated on the Titanic.
Give
me a break. Yes, Kate Winslet, give me a break, please. Rose, never let go. Like,
never let,
let
go.
Let the fuck go. Let the fuck go. Keep playing the game.
June, this is such a sad story.
It's so sad. I mean, I've been calling them Jamie and Cersei Lannister all this time. I mean, it's just so odd to me that, like, you're in bed, like, getting kissed up on your neck by someone that looks like your brother. I mean, if I was in the house and G looks nothing like my brother, but let's say some Korean dude came in looking just like my brother, there is no fucking way I'm going to be sexually attracted or have any kind of I'm just going to be like, oh, what is going on with that? And now they're up on the block together, and Clay is, like, willing to, like, lay in front of a train for her.
Don't say,
like,
train. Don't say train.
I chose that on purpose. I mean, it's just ridiculous. What are you doing, kiddo? What are you doing?
Okay. So, June, were you impressed with any of the campaigning that Clay and Shelley had to do?
I mean, I'm disappointed that Clay and Shelley haven't just, like, thrown Vanessa under the bus for the whole, like, Jason drama. But instead they're, like, picking on Steve, which is, like, ridiculous.
We'll talk,
like,
about Steve also.
Yeah. I mean, Steve is another one. The thing is, I have to, like, you know, when you bowl or you're like playing anything and you give someone a handicap, like, I have to give Steve a handicap only because he's so socially awkward and he's, like, clearly just not in his element. And so I'm going to give him a little more, like, points where he doesn't deserve it. But yeah, I'm pretty disappointed in him too. Like, A, he's not winning anything. B, he's not really having any strategy talks with anyone. But at the same time, nobody wants to talk to him. And so, yeah, he's in a tough position. I mean, I thought Jason was kind of mean to him, at some point, and everyone's been a little bit standoffish with him. However, Vanessa has reeled him in, and mm-hmm. he seems to be Vanessa's little pet. So, I mean, we'll see what happens in the end, but I don't see him, like, pulling some, like, huge, like, hey, I'm going to pull this facade off and come out being Stefan. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't see him getting to final two. And if he does, I don't think he deserves to win. No.
But he'd be a perfect person to bring to the end, because unlike Ian, who won in the final two, I feel like that there was a lot of goodwill towards Ian. And I think people really liked having Ian around. And in some ways that he was kind of a mascot at the worst of times and somebody who really came into his own by the end of it. And I don't see Steve on that same arc.
Yeah, and I mean, exactly, because Ian also gave us really good, like, diary rooms in which he showed us he was thinking about the game and he was strategizing. But Steve doesn't even give us that. I mean, the kid's really uncomfortable in the house. I mean, there was that one day on the feeds about a week ago that he was just begging his mom to send him some good juju, you know? Like, he's just really uncomfortable there. And
does that work?
And I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
That shit don't work.
No juju? What about June? Could you send good June?
Yes, if Noah is ever in that house and I hear him on the feed saying he needs some good June from his mama, then yeah, I'm all the way. I will, like, slaughter a pig if I have to and send him some good juju.
What do you think of Clay's family, do you think that they are pro Shelly? Do you think that they feel like that this is, they're proud of their son? Because he's only 23 and she's 33. Do you think that the family approves?
I think on camera, they'll act like it's okay. But I think when the camera goes off, like his mom is like fucking like crushing rocks between her teeth. Like she will kill Shelly kind of. And who knows, maybe his dad's just relieved that like it's a girl and not a guy.
We don't know that. We don't know.
No, I'm totally kidding. Although I do get Nathan vibes from him a little bit.
All right, well, I won't ask what a Nathan vibe is.
Yeah, but no, I'm kidding. I don't know anything about the kid's sexuality.
Okay, let's take a question from Umberto. Wants to know about what's the best move for the house.
Hey, Rob and June. This is Umberto calling from Miami. Hope you guys are having fun.
Yes.
This season as much as we are.
Damn.
In regards of Clay versus Shelly, though James already won the POV, he's not going to use it. Wouldn't it be smart for that part of the house, James, Jackie, and Meg, to keep Clay and evict Shelly? Clay seems like to be closer to Meg than to the other side of the house. I feel like Shelly is a glue from Vanessa to Clay. Also, I don't think Clay, Austin, and the twins get along that much. All right, love to hear what you think. Peace.
Should those people, James, Jackie, and Meg the bedbug, should they want to keep Shelly or Clay in the house?
I think they should keep Clay. I think for their game, Clay is better because Shelly is absolutely more of a comp threat and she just thinks more about the game. She had to tell Clay about like the fact that she didn't want to win yet another HOH, and that's why she threw it to James, although I don't believe that she could have stayed up there for very long anyway, but she made that deal for her and Clay. I think Shelly is a much bigger threat in the game, A, and against the bedbug team over there, B. So if I were them, I would definitely be gunning for Shelly more than Clay.
What did you think about that deal that was made in front of everybody where they were doing the competition and James made that deal with Shelly and he's just like, yes, yes, you're safe, fine. And then didn't even really consider it for a second.
Yeah, I know. I mean, good for James. Not everyone could do that, especially because they are afraid of America watching and, oh my God, America probably saw me make this promise. But Shelly, by making that deal for her and Clay, was asking to be nominated together with him. Like, I don't understand why you would include someone else in your deal. Like, when you're in that house, there's only one fucking winner. And if you want it to be you, you're making a deal for yourself, not for anyone else. Like, I never once fucking said, oh, can you keep me and so-and-so safe? Because I don't care about fucking so-and-so or that, this, that, and the other. Like, you should keep yourself safe.
Yeah.
I think that Shelly might have been kept safe? Has she only made a deal for herself? Maybe.
Yeah, I thought Vanessa was really being a baby about saying that, oh, Vanessa and Clay didn't make the deal also to keep me safe also. And I feel like she really dodged a bullet by them not saying that in front of the whole house. Like, oh, could you keep Vanessa safe also?
Agreed. Which is why sometimes I say I wish we could get like these honest diary rooms from Vanessa showing me that she's not a complete moron, because some of the things she says just don't make sense. Absolutely. It would have been detrimental to her game had Shelly said, for me, Shelly, you know, for me, Clay and Vanessa, because at this point in the game, nobody actually knows that Vanessa is like so close to these people. Nobody knows that this whole sixth sense thing is actually a thing. They all think it is, but nobody actually knows how much influence Vanessa has over these people. So I think it was a good thing for Vanessa's game that Shelly only put out Clay's name there with hers.
And so for Vanessa, where does she stand now in all of this? Is she's going to survive this week? Do you feel like is she on the ropes, or do you feel like she's in a good spot to be able to pivot from this after this week?
The thing is, I think she's in a great spot. However, she's out there campaigning so hard for Shelly. Before the POV ceremony, she was out there campaigning to save both Shelley and Clay. And now that the POV wasn't used, she's trying to convince everyone that Shelley should stay and Clay should go. So I don't understand what she's doing. Like, okay, fine. There are certain people you want to work with in the house. Yeah, well, who fucking cares? If they're up on the block, you fucking stay away from them and you pretend to be their friend. But you don't go around campaigning for them. Like, this is not your nomination. It's someone else on the block. Why would you be putting your neck out there and campaigning for somebody? It's just, but like I said, this is the oddest fucking season. And most of these people have never even like watched more than one full season. So they have no idea what's right and what's wrong and what's suspicious and what's not. So, you know, Vanessa doing all this shit, it doesn't like raise any red flags to anybody. However, if it was anyone else in the house, we'd be like, what the fuck do you care? Like, you want Shelley to stay? I'm going to fucking vote that bitch out. That's what I would say.
People, they do the opposite of what you want.
Of course.
All right, let me play you this question about what Johnny Mac is going to do this week.
I have a question about Johnny Mac. So earlier today, he was talking to Becky and told her that he has Clay, yet he is going to vote him out because Clay made him promise to do so. Do you really think that he will do this? I think it's in his best interest to keep Clay because they seem to be pretty close, and I haven't seen Johnny Mac one-on-one with Shelley interact that much. What do you think?
So Clay made Johnny Mac promise to vote him out of the house?
Yes. And then after the POV ceremony, when the nominations were not changed, apparently Johnny Mac was crying because he was sad that Clay was still on the block. Now some people say some people say he was drunk and some people say he wasn't. Who cares? Why are you crying? First of all, people crying when people are nominated. Boo hoo, I'm so sad they left. Okay, shut the fuck up because now you're like one step closer to winning. And then to cry because someone's still up on the block? What are you doing, Johnny Mac? And this is precisely why I said I have no idea what the fuck he's doing anymore. If he has such a man crush on Clay that he's sad that he's going to have to evict him, when actually he should be keeping him because he might be a number for him. Like, I have no idea what Johnny Mac is doing. And I don't know, my faith in him is just like dwindling and dwindling. I need to hear a diary room from him in which he like tells us in detail what his thought processes are. And I know some people are saying, oh, but we're never going to be able to figure him out. This is just how he is. Well, that doesn't work in Big Brother. You need to have a clear-cut strategy because if and when you win and we look back at this footage, we're going to be like, he doesn't deserve to win because what the fuck was he doing? Like, I just don't know what that was about.
You want him to be like, I was just faking crying because I don't want Clay to go home yet, but I'll send him home any other time.
Right. Yeah. There you go. Can you just do that voiceover for us? Like, and just, that's Johnny Mac. Yes.
Could I talk about the Clay and Shelley relationship? Because is there a chance that if Clay went out, wouldn't she be like Gina Marie? Like, remember when Nick, did you watch that season, right?
Mm-hmm. I stopped midway, but I am quite aware.
Right. Where Nick went out and like week two and then all season long, Gina Marie is like, Nick, I love you, Nick. I want to get out of the house and be with you. And then, you know, he's off doing God knows what. Isn't that going to be really awkward when Clay gets out of the house and we see him like on social media and on Instagram and he's with all these different women all summer long, but Shelley is continuing the showmance along in her head?
I want to say that she's not going to do that only because she, you know, had her own business. She's been married and divorced. She's more mature. However, after seeing McCray and Amanda, and seeing how into McCray Amanda was and how she thought it was going to work out after the show, I can't really predict this shit because, like, you know, you think a woman is strong and she has her shit together in her personal life. And then she comes into the Big Brother house and she's just a hot mess and she just can't be an independent woman. And she needs to like string these boys along or whatnot, or just have some sort of showmance to show that, you know, their woman. Like, so I don't know. I want to say that Shelley's not going to do that and she's going to keep moving on, chugging along with the game. But you never know. She might miss him. She might do shout outs to him. She might like whine about missing him. But yeah, I mean, I think once Clay's out of the house, he's gonna move on. I mean, his mom's gonna smack him in the fucking head
so
with a brick.
If Shelley really cares about the relationship and doesn't feel like she could win the game, shouldn't she be the one to be evicted? At least she can, if they're gonna be separated, at least she knows where he is all summer. She can keep an eye on him. And then, because if he gets back home to Texas, all bets are off.
Absolutely. But I think she's more ruthless than that. And also because she's like had so many like shitty boyfriends and, you know, a horrible marriage and this, that, and the other, I think she really just liked controlling Clay, and the only reason that would ever happen is if the dude is 10 years younger than her, because I don't think that Shelley is woman enough, and I don't think that she is confident enough in herself right now to take someone her age or older head on. But when it comes to this little boy, she really did enjoy manipulating him and controlling him, and maybe it was just what her like what she needed, and it gave her a boost of confidence, and when she comes back out, she can get right back on Tinder and meet someone her age
like Becky.
Mm-hmm.
No. Tell me, June, are you saying that the myth of the cougar being the secure and confident woman is nothing but a myth? And you're saying that the woman who is dating a much younger man is doing so because she feels like she could control him better? Is that what you're saying?
I think there's two camps. Absolutely.
Two camps.
I think there's the absolutely secure, strong, financially stable woman who just enjoys having a young stallion with stamina,
the Samantha
and virility.
Jones.
Yes, absolutely. And then there are the women who are not confident enough, and so they prey on
oh,
young
no.
men, and they enjoy using them. I think, you know, granted, Shelley's lived a pretty full life and she's, you know, been married before. She's had her own business. So she's not stupid. She's not naive. You know, she can hold her own. However, I think when she came into this game, she saw Clay and she was like all googly eyed. And then she realized pretty quickly that he's kind of like not as smart as she thought he was. And she thought, okay, this will be easy. But now she's really, you know, gotten attached to him. But I think once he's out of the game, she's just going to move on. It seems like, according to the feeds updates, that she's already like moved on. She's already told Vanessa, you know, like, I don't want to campaign against Clay, but I'm just telling you that I have more fight in him, you know, in me than he does. And so I think she's ready to move on.
Okay. Let's go to another voicemail. This one is about Shelley and the task that she had to do this week. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
This is from John.
Hello, Rob. My name is John. I'm a first-time caller. I have a question about Shelley's punishment. Did Shelley make a mistake of completing her task of doing 2,400 battles in 24 hours?
June, would Shelley have been better off not completing the task?
I think in the grand scheme of things, she should have not thrown it. But yeah, I think she should have had some sort of mild breakdown and pretended like, you know, she was defeated.
Is that what Audrey did?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a whole other ball game. And you know, she could have then used the argument like, whatever, you can always get rid of me next week. I can't even play for POV. I don't think it would have been the worst idea for her to just fail.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's in her. I think she has such an ego that she doesn't want to throw shit. Honestly, like, I don't know.
What was your take on Audrey? We haven't talked about her the whole time.
She was a huge disappointment.
Did it make you mad when she didn't go to the veto competition?
I can't get on the Audrey train. I just can't. Like, I'm not one to like tag her on Twitter and like, you know, attack her. But like, I have been pretty vocal about the fact that I'm like very disappointed in her. And it's not even just because she was the first like transgender person on Big Brother. Although like she used that quite enough for it to matter, you know, and just, she just really disappointed me. The first time she went MIA and crawled into bed and people brought her food and she totally disappeared off people's radars, it actually worked. And I thought, oh my God, that strategy actually worked. Good for her. It's something I've never seen before, but good for her for pulling it off. And then when she did it the second time, I was like, what the hell is this? And people were saying, oh, she had a breakdown, she has this anxiety attack, this, that, and the other. And so, okay, I was like, let me give her the benefit of the doubt, maybe she had some sort of like medical condition. But no, it's just like, to me, it was just her being a fucking brat. I mean, my son does it too. Mm-hmm. The difference is when I tell him, like, okay, you stay in the bed, let me just lock the door and I'm gonna go out and go grocery shopping, I'll leave you here. He's like, no, I'll come out.
You know, is that what Big like, Brother should have done to Audrey?
You know, yeah. I mean, like, go ahead, fucking leave. You don't get your stipend. You get
nothing.
We're
all leaving now. Yeah. You'll be locked in the have not room by yourself. The no.
Oh, yeah, wait, well, yeah. I'm up. Yeah.
I mean, she was a huge disappointment. I can't support her. Like, it's great that she's joking about it and she can laugh at herself now, but that's not what I fucking tune in for. I don't fucking tune in for people who can laugh at themselves. I tune in for people who are going to show up and play. And if you don't want to do that, then like, what the fuck? And don't even get me started. I don't like her.
Okay. Let me give you one last question. This is from Brent.
Hey, Rob. This is your bedazzled live feed reporter, Brent Wagamot, calling for you and June. June, I'm a huge fan of you. Your win in Big Brother 4 was richly deserved, and I love following you on Twitter. That being said, I do have a question for June. Steve said on the feeds tonight that he is going to apologize to whoever might have been cast in Clay's place due to Clay not campaigning against Shelley and asking to be voted out. Steve is upset that Clay is giving up his game for a friend, saying that, quote, you don't come into Big Brother to make friends. If June could go into the house for 5 minutes and coach Clay up, what would she say to him to get him back into game mode? Or is Clay simply miscast on the show and doesn't have that mode to begin with? Thanks a lot.
First off, does Steve need to apologize to the person whose spot that Clay took in the house?
I don't see why Steve has to do it. I think Clay should do it.
He should have to apologize to the person who didn't get on Big Brother. Robin Cass should give him his phone number.
I think Steve should tell Clay that he needs to apologize to all of America, people who actually applied to be on the show. Yeah, but I don't see why Steve has to apologize for him.
So Clay should just be like somebody that answers the phone like, I don't know what this number is, huh? Hello? And then the guy is like, sir, I can't understand what you're saying. Could you speak clearer?
He should definitely apologize. And I mean, I think what I would do if I were to walk into the house is to ask Clay, like, what do you want to be known for? I'm going to tell him, like, the diehard Big Brother fan has no respect for quitters, A, or B, people who lie down and just hand the game over to someone else. You know, when 10, 15, 20 years from now, what are you going to tell your kids? Because they're not going to be Shelly's kids. I'll tell you that right now.
You know, I was going to make a joke and I'm not going to.
Oh, God.
And you feel, and that would get Clay to be pumped up then. And you think he would throw Shelly under the bus?
I don't think he would throw Shelly under the bus, but he would stop asking people to vote him out. I mean, I think when you're up against someone that you like, it is very difficult to campaign against them. It really is. When I was up against Dana and, you know, we were like friends, we became buddies. Like I didn't campaign against her. I let her just bury herself, essentially. And I made her feel bad for campaigning against me. Like, yeah, you have to. If you want to win. However, I don't know if Clay wants to win that bad, because like, it's not like he is, you know, he doesn't have a hard life outside of Big Brother. His parents seem to be pretty affluent. The kids, you know, in grad school, like, I don't think he needs the money as desperately as other people might. So I don't know what could push him at this point, except to like, you know, like, insult his masculinity in some way. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you being a fucking pussy? What are you doing? I don't even know if that would work, because I don't know. Maybe we have to ask his like football coach, like what the fuck gets him going? Like, who the fuck knows? Maybe we need to give him statistics on showmances, the actual like success rate, because there haven't really been that many. Like, yeah, okay, Jeff and Jordan. I don't know if we can consider that a success since she's still begging to have a wedding.
They're on marriage boot camp.
Yeah, Dominic and Danielle, good for them. I mean, Brendan and Rachel. And Brendan, the statistics are not very good as far as showmances go. So, I don't know. Maybe I need to lie to him and tell him that his mommy is going to rip up his Bible. Like, I don't know what it's going to take. But at this point, I don't think Clay needs that money.
June, you wrote on Twitter, Shelley and Clay, they only have 4 days left. We need to make them good. You said they need to make a baby.
Yes.
That would be something.
That was like a total joke, but if they actually did fuck in these last 4 days, I would die laughing. I mean, that's really the worst thing they could do. And like, you know, I don't know them personally, so it's not like I hate them. I don't want them to like completely ruin their lives, but I feel like this, it would be a bad move for them to actually have sex with each other. But as far as lies, that would be amazing.
Why would it be a bad move? Wasn't it? That was your season, right? Where they,
the first time ever.
David and what was that girl's name?
Amanda.
Amanda.
It was the first time ever there was sex on a U.S. Big Brother.
And you guys knew what was going on that night?
I had no idea. Other people did. I was like totally naive. Like I said, I was like very innocent when I went on that show.
And then you got corrupted after you got off of Big Brother?
Absolutely. I was such a good Christian Korean girl when I went in that house. Yeah, no, but I had no idea they were going to fuck. I had no idea. That was like a surprise to me. It just never occurred to me, because I was like, ew, why would you have sex like in front of cameras like that?
All right, June.
Enough, June.
June, who's the winner of this season?
Vanessa.
And does that make you mad?
No. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm okay with it. Like, I mean, she's working her ass off. And like, all the junkie and drug addict rehab jokes aside.
Yeah, jokes.
You know, I wouldn't say that shit if I actually like didn't like her. Like, I'm actually hardest on people that I expect more from.
Right.
And so it's just that I would like her to relax, you know, calm the fuck down a little bit. But no, she absolutely, if she gets to the end, she fucking deserves it.
Okay. June, I need a hashtag for this episode of the podcast. I got bed bug.
Yeah.
I got Miami boat girl.
Yeah, let's do let's stick with bed bug.
I feel like it needs to be like Meg bug or something.
Bed meg.
I feel like we need to workshop that.
Bug. How about Meg bug?
Meg bug. Okay. That's good. And so we'll see if we can get at some point if Meg can spot some squirrels back in New York City.
Jeez Louise.
Do you know for a fact, does she commute into the city?
No, she was born in Jersey. She's a Jersey girl, but she's been living, you know, in New York for the last few years.
Okay.
But still, you can't take the Jersey out of the girl. She's a total Jersey girl. I mean, have you seen the way she dresses? That is not how a fucking Manhattan bitch dresses.
What, you don't like her glasses?
Right, and her fucking denim. God Damn, are you serious?
June, I think she looks good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think she looks good, too. I love her tits. I do. They're, like, nice and big and full. But just, I can't with her. Like, she's such a hot mess. Like, I think she's cute. Absolutely. I think she's so cute. But just, like, she's a hot mess. She really is. Well, obviously, you know, she's friends with Andrea.
Yes.
From Survivor. Yes. And this, that, and the other. And so, like, yeah, I have a problem in general with people being cast because they're like a few degrees of separation away.
You're mad that she's friends with Andrea.
Not mad, but like, if that's your ticket in, that's just as bad as like Alyssa getting on because she was Rachel's sister and all this other bullshit, you know?
Yeah. I don't know, though, if that's enough to get you in the door. Like, maybe you get an introduction, but I can't imagine that people would say, Robin Cass would say, like, oh, you're friends with Andrea from Survivor? Okay.
Oh, and you love Frankie Grande? Oh, okay, well, let's pull in some Frankie fans. Sure, yeah, let's get those demographics back up in there.
Is that what's going on? That they
which is why I tell people when they go to auditions, do not say that you love June Song or that you would emulate my game because I'm like a redheaded stepchild.
you have to go to the auditions and say, I hate
you.
June.
You love Jeff and Jordan, you love Janelle, you love like Frankie Grande, like you have to like name all the drop all these names that CBS loves. You can't say you love June. You'll get like check her off. Nah, cross her off the list. Cross her off the list.
So you're telling people if they wear an I hate June Song t-shirt that they'll get on Big Brother?
No, it has to be more of like an I love the okay. other. Yeah.
So what if it says I hate June Song on the back? Like I love Frankie Grande on the front. I hate June Song on the back.
I think that's like a definite shoo-in. You're gonna be cast.
And then on the sleeve, I know Andrea from Survivor.
Exactly. Seriously, no joke. And then when you get in the house, you reveal your true love is June Song, but not before.
The first day, come in with your suitcase. Like, guess
because
what?
I noticed.
I love June Song and I hated Frankie Grande.
Exactly. I noticed in his interviews, Jason doesn't mention me at all. But then when he was in the house, he was like, yeah, June, I love June. June loves June has this blog and I love it. But he was smart. He never mentioned it in his interview.
Yeah. Well, if he's lucky that he didn't get a.
Get ready for a
change. Oh, wait, hold on. Has to leave right now.
Exactly.
Somebody lied to us.
Julie Chen said she hates June and you have to hate her too.
Wait, did Julie Chen say she hates you?
Well, her assistant called me once and like asked me to refrain from mentioning Julie when I did that stupid blog for CBS one season.
Yeah.
And yeah. Julie Chen's assistant called me one day and I was like, hello? And she was like, oh, this is Julie Chen's assistant. And I was like, okay. She was like, oh, well, you know, I just called you because I know you're writing for the blog. And, you know, we just asked that you refrain from mentioning Julie in the blog. And I was like, hold on, let me check my contract. Okay, yeah, no, it doesn't say anything in there about me not saying anything about Julie. And she's a part of the show. So as far as I'm concerned, she's fair game. So unless I'm wrong, just let me know. And that was like the end of that. No. And yeah,
maybe there was a miscommunication.
Like, okay. Ew, yeah, but Julie loves me. Come on, we're like Asian sisters from another mister.
All right. Well, June, thank you so much. I've laughed so much here today.
I always have fun with you.
Yeah, we always have fun. And June, I had many people on Periscope say that this was the best show, and only a few people said it was the worst.
Oh, wow. Those few are my favorite people in the world. Yeah, those other people such suck-ups, man.
But this was really fun. I'm really glad that you came on and did this with us because I know people were dying to hear from you. And you really have been cracking me up on Twitter. If you're not following June on Twitter, how come every other Big Brother person has like 100,000 Twitter followers? Only 21,000 people follow you on Twitter.
Because I'm probably on people's lists more than I'm on their follows.
Ah.
I'm so controversial.
Yes. All right. So follow @JuneDishes on Twitter. She's so funny. Really, all season long. I've
yeah, and like, everyone has to like take my shit with a grain of salt. Like, I'm joking most of the time.
No, it's really funny. I really am. Keep up the good work on Twitter because you're killing me.
Thanks, Rob, and you too. It's an honor always to do a podcast with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Now, do you still only follow 69 people?
No, I follow zero now.
Oh, now you follow zero? You don't follow anybody?
Nobody. I keep lists instead.
Wow.
Such yeah, it's just easier to deal with, you know?
Oh, wow. That's really, that's like next level.
I'm like Beyonce, yo.
All right, Drew. Thank you so much. We'll be live again on Wednesday night at 9:15 p.m. Eastern, and then again after the eviction this Thursday when we say goodbye to either Clay or Shelly. And then I will have an exit interview this Friday. So a lot going on, Big Brother, this week. So much to do. Hope you have a good one, everybody. Talk to you again soon. Bye.
Bye.